How's the sound?
Alright, say a couple words and see how this sounds.
Say something.
Penis.
Maybe, like, lean in a bit. Yeah. Okay, say penis again.
Penis.
Yeah, that sounds better. Okay. So, yeah, right like this. I think this is pretty good.
Alright.
Hey, wait, I'm going to rinse my mouth out one more time. He's out of here.
Keith loves a luscious cock. A luscious cock. Keith loves. Keith loves a luscious.
Hey, what's up?
So, hey, Prison Wallets Podcast, I assume no one whispered anything into the mic while I was gone, so we'll just start from here. So, yeah, bonus episode of our classic, instant classic podcast, Prison Wallets. This is going to be one of our little general topic podcasts. We don't do these as often. But, Ray, why don't you introduce yourself and introduce our fine guest?
My name's Ray.
I'm Keith, by the way.
Yeah, this is Keith. I'm Ray. We are the Prison Wallets. This is our love story to movies, as always. We do have a guest with us today, something that is very atypical from our typical, I guess, format. So we have here with us a fine young fellow that came straight out of my cock. I made this kid almost 18 years ago, and since I shat him out of my wiener, I decided that he might as well, you know, do a little co-host gig with us on the Prison Wallets as he's visiting from way down east. The fine, fine, fucking awful, shitty, cold, wet, depressing Nova Scotia.
Yeah. It's really fucking awful.
Yeah, I'm going
back. Don't go there, seriously.
I'm going back to New Brunswick next month, so yeah, it's pretty close.
Okay, we gotta keep the mic down now.
Oh! Hey, yo. Oh, hey.
I just almost stabbed Ray in the cock with this microphone stand. Yeah, so I was saying to you, are you going to use your normal name or you want a podcast name?
I'm Caleb.
So I was saying to young Caleb just before how weird it is just like to meet the kids of my friends, because we were in like junior high when we met, probably.
Yeah, I was.
Or maybe I was in sixth grade still. I think maybe I was in elementary school and you were the tough older boy.
I was 13. So how old are you now?
I'm 30. I was just thinking this today. I'm 39, I think.
39.
I must be 39. I was like, am I 38 or 39?
No, but that's, I think, the thing. 2 years is the difference.
And that's when you get older too. You're just like, I was like, oh, who even cares? I don't give a shit.
So you're 39. I'm 41. Right. So,
yeah, and just like, it makes sense that people have kids, but it's still weird because, like, I mean, we're still just sitting around watching fucking dumb movies and, you know, music videos and stuff. It doesn't feel any different than when we were kids. But there's other ones of us now. There's kids. It's like, what the fuck?
The difference is we've learned from our parents' mistakes of having boring, normal households, and my apartment is rad.
This place is fucking cool.
Yeah, so that is one thing. If anyone's seen any of our pictures on Instagram of our delightful clown faces and stuff, that, yeah, this apartment is fucking bananas. Or whenever Ray puts up a post of, like, a new episode, a lot of them are, like, the movie wall or just, like, the posters and stuff. Yeah, just undeniably cool house. It doesn't, not like a normal adult house that we would think of in the 80s.
Yeah, there's like framed posters and framed art prints based on movies and a lot of autographed, well, not a lot, I'd say several autographed art prints or autographed photos of horror celebrities like Linda Blair, Elvira, Linnea Quigley, so on and so forth. You know, it really is a good aesthetic, and it's one that really does set the mood for our podcast.
So do you ever hear that theory, though, that, this is what I'm curious about, yeah, like the offspring perspective is that, is just of kids rebelling against what came before them, right? So there was like,
what the fuck am I going to rebel against, realistically?
Yeah, that's the thing. When everything,
what am I going to do, be a conservative Christian?
Yeah, like when everything is this rad, this is fucking cool, like, yeah, what is there to rebel against? But I remember I read a thing once that was about, so it's like you had the hippie movement. And then the kids of the hippies were like, man, fuck this. And they became punks. But then how do you rebel against the punks if your parents are cool-ass punks? And that's when you become like an early 2000s emo kid and like the swoopy hair and the fucking just really annoying Simple Plan and like terrible like songs. And it's like, yeah, that would piss off your punk parents. Like, there's always a way. So
yeah.
So did you ever feel like that? Like, I got to rebel against the old man?
Not really.
Yeah, it's because I wouldn't either. I feel like this would be, I'd be like, this is cool, my dad rules.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, so yeah. What do you do,
Ray? I'm basically just younger Ray.
Right. And I guess, too, yeah, even that rebelling against the parents thing, it's like overstated. I don't know how much that really happens. I mean, I certainly didn't rebel against my porn addict dad. I just became him. Like you said, you're a young Ray, I'm a young Neil. It's just, that's how it is.
Like young Neil, like from Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah, I wish. No, I'm like young Neil as in a porn addict weirdo, like
safe
old
sex
Neil.
Grandpa.
Yes, yeah, and like, yeah, my parents, I mean, obviously my house wasn't a cool horror house, but totally permissive. Like the first time I saw, like the first horror movie I remember watching was the first Friday the 13th, because it was just at my house. I don't know why, there's just a tape there. And me and my mom just watched it. I'm just like, whatever, cool.
Let's kind of deviate a little bit and talk about first horror movie experiences. I mean, I'm going to touch on it in the book that I'm writing a little bit here, which we finally, or I guess I've come up with a title, and it's very simple. It's going to be the Prison Wallet's Guide to Movies.
Yeah, that's what's nice with this podcast, because yeah, we didn't have any clear title stuff, but now we have branding. We yes. have an identity.
Yeah, we've got something. So, I don't know. Who wants to go first?
So Caleb, you saw your first horror movie today, Sinister.
I think I was like 11 when I saw my first actual horror movie. Dad here showed me An American Werewolf in London,
right.
And I thought that was pretty fucking cool. So I was like, I need more. And then I progressed with like Alien and stuff. I watched, I think in the span of a week, all four of them that were out at the time.
That's weird to think of, right? That like Alien, that was definitely a horror movie. But just because of the later ones, it's hard to remember how much that first one was like a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely was. And yeah, I mean, the first one I remember was, I mean, I don't know if Friday the 13th was the first, because it just feel like we just always had horror movies around, and it's like we were policed by just trying to get them. But once you had the VHS, there was no more policing. No one was trying to stop us from watching them.
Right.
So, like, it's not like a clear memory, because I feel like I already knew about horror before then. It didn't seem like a big deal, is what I'm saying, to watch Friday the 13th, but it's the first one I remember.
I mean, I remember as a young lad growing up on Dune Street. I talk about this once in a while here and there. Dune Street was not a safe place to kind of...
The toughest street in the toughest city of the toughest country.
It was tough, that's yeah, for sure. But everyone talked about shit they didn't know anything about. Like, everyone talked about Freddy Krueger. Everyone talked about Jason. No one had seen them.
Right.
They talked about them like they had, though, a million times. So I remember my grandparents, they had a Betamax player, and they had upgraded, because my grandparents were, they had money, and they had bought a VCR, so we got the hand-me-down Betamax.
They had Betamax VCR money. I mean, I guess to have both of those, that is actually pretty, that's pretty well off.
Back then, you know, early 80s.
Who the fuck had a Betamax? That's weird.
So they gave my family, like my mother, my brother, and I, this Betamax player and several tapes that they had recorded stuff off of, like the Movie Network or whatever. And one of these tapes, all it had written on it was Jason Lives, and that was Friday the 13th Part 6. Now, when they gave that to us, my mother hid this tape on top of the buffet and hutch that we had in our kitchen that you saw when we were growing up. And she was like, you know, I don't know why. She was dumb enough to say, like, don't watch this. Like, just leave it there. Don't touch it. Don't go near it. As soon as she went to the neighbor's place to gossip and play bingo or whatever, I was up there and I grabbed that tape and I watched the shit out of it. And then I was hooked.
I love that she didn't throw it out. She's like, now no one should watch this, but it's too precious. I can't just get rid of it.
I mean, she wasn't a horror fan either. So I like, she wouldn't have watched it, you know, like there was no reason for her to keep it. But her reasoning behind not throwing it out was we grew up poor. You just didn't throw things away.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you could tape over it or something too. Yeah, like, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, long and short of it was Friday the 13th Part 6 was my first real horror movie.
So let me ask you that, because yeah, my mom, again, just never, I mean, I don't know, my mom was super permissive. There's just no such thing as rules, really, because I just wasn't, it never occurred to me to break rules. Mm-hmm. It's just weird. But it went that way, too, with, like, music and movies. Like, she never said no to anything. So was it kind of better to, like, oh, this is the forbidden film that I have to get from the top of the hutch?
Oh, it absolutely was. Yeah. I mean, when you can't have something, and I'm like that even now in life. Like, if there is a Ray, version of a movie out, and
you can't give me a blowjob. You can't.
Like, if there's a version of a movie out and it goes out of print and I, quote, can't have it because there's none to have,
right,
I hunt it down because I need it, because I'm not supposed to have it now because it's out of print.
Right.
So, rare, like when I hear rare or limited edition or something like that, it has to go in my collection, which right now stands at, I'm just shy of 700 movies on Blu-ray.
You were at the sweet 666 and then it passed.
Yeah,
it
now I'm at like, I don't know, it's 669.
Like, it's weird with my mom, like it's not something that we deliberately bring up. It's not like you'd think of my mom as like some kind of horror fan or whatever. She's just a real estate lawyer, relatively mm-hmm. normal person. But her watching Jason with me, it was definitely like, as the years went on, it's like, yeah, she's, it's a little weird, basically. It's like she reads a lot of serial killer books. And when we first got to the internet,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's interesting, because I do too.
Yeah, she's into that stuff. And some of them are really boring, because it'll be like, oh, here's a New Brunswick murderer. But she's like, you should read this. And I was like, that wasn't interesting, Mom. It's fucking New Brunswick murders. They suck. But
oh, like Alan Legere?
Yeah, there was another one too that I can't even remember the name of. Like, not even that famous. But when we first got the internet, and it was really slow dial-up, I remember it was just at my parents' office, and it was like after hours, and I was there with, it was me, my brother, and my mom, and we went to Rotten.com, where they have like the police photos of nice. Like someone has blown their head off, but they've cleaned it up and taken the police photo. It's just disgusting.
Yeah.
But it would also load like one line of pixels at a time. And that was like our little family moment of the three of us, like cuddled around the computer, just like, oh, gross. So it's not like a common thing that me and my mom just hang out watching, looking at dead people. Mm-hmm. But when it comes up, yeah, it's like she's, it doesn't faze her at all, which is like, it's a little weird.
So what keeps you guys wanting to watch more genre films? Like, and not even necessarily just horror. I'm talking like cult favorites. Like, I mean, I'm big into like blaxploitation and, you know, sexploitation movies too. I really like Russ Meyer movies and Roger Corman movies and stuff like that.
Which I just learned yesterday are not the same person.
Yeah. Troma films like Lloyd Kaufman Productions. I'm a big fan of those. So what keeps you guys wanting to watch more of this stuff? Like, do you just have a natural affinity for it? Do you, is there something that draws you to it, or is it just you like it now and that's what it is?
Basically, I just like it now. Every once in a while, I'll find something new that reminds me of like horror. And like the way I got back into horror in the past few months was this band Mortician. They have these super long horror movie samples, often longer than the actual music in their songs, in every one of their tracks.
Isn't that cool too, when there's a sample and then you see the movie? If like,
yeah,
you, sometimes like I just catch them and I didn't know.
Or like
know.
You see a movie and then later you'll listen to a song and it has the sample. Like there's a Brain Drill song that samples Frankenhooker.
Nice. Like that happened to me recently with Hellraiser. There's an old Aphex Twin song that is like, come to daddy, come to daddy. And then I was watching Hellraiser and he's like, come to daddy. I was like, oh, that's where the fucking, holy shit.
Yeah, that's, I mean, White Zombie and Rob Zombie, mostly White Zombie though, because in their first couple of albums or their first like mainstream album, they blew the budget trying to afford the samples from horror movies. So you get like a lot of samples from like fucking Night of the Living Dead, like stuff like that, like very obvious samples from these. And then you have in Astro Creep 2000 samples from like serial killer footage, like court footage and stuff like that. So, you know.
Man, did you ever hear that one? It's a really weird sample. It's this Gorillaz song, A1M1, I think it's called. And it's because it's not an obvious sample, it's just this part from Day of the Dead, where it's just like this echoey voice of the guy going, hello, hello, is there anyone there? And they just keep looping it. And I didn't realize where it was from because that's such a bizarre thing to use. And yeah, it's just cool. I watched Day of the Dead again. And I'm just like, oh, fuck, that's from that movie. Holy shit. I was thinking one thing I love about like genre type movies. I was thinking about this the other day, that it's a sort of the similar reason why I like pro wrestling, is I like when things are just direct. Like, I love how there's no subtext in wrestling. Like, if some guy walks down to the ring acting like a cocky dickhead, that's it. He's a cocky dickhead. There is no other levels to his character.
Right.
And I like that simplicity sometimes, and I feel like you can get that a lot in genre stuff. Of like, not always, I'm not saying it's like shallow, but it's okay if it is, you know? It's like genre pieces are the one thing where there's like certain rules and certain guidelines, and you just... everything doesn't have to be deep. It can just be awesome. Like Reanimator. I mean, none of those characters are deep. They are who they are, and it's surface level, and it rules.
Yeah, that is such a phenomenal movie.
It really is.
Yeah. So what do you think? What keeps bringing you back to the horror genre? Or to any genre, for that matter, that you really like?
Is it horror? I've always loved gore.
Yeah.
It's just been my thing. Like, Mortal Kombat was one of the first games I remember playing. And I was like, I need more games like this. So I started playing stuff like Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it crazy with Mortal Kombat specifically how in the early games, I mean, it was awesome, but it was silly. Just these digitized people, and it just looked dumb. Where at this point, with Mortal Kombat 10 and 11, they're still insanely violent, but they also look way more realistic now.
It's less fun now, though.
Yeah, and it's, like, creepy in a way, because, like, I looked up one time, I'm like, oh, Mortal Kombat 11, let's watch all the fatalities on YouTube back-to-back. And it's like, dude, no horror movie would be this disgusting ever. This is just, like, 20 minutes of people getting chopped up. This is fucked up. It's just weird how it's evolved like that.
I mean, for myself, as far as genre movies go, I think as a young kid, and just getting into it, I just wanted more because I wanted to be able to talk about them. Like, you know, it was cool to know lots of stuff about horror movies and stuff like that. And then I guess it kind of just stuck with me. So I've always known a little bit more than, I guess, the average person about movies. And of course, my movie collection now, I've been weeding out things. Like, you know, like, I don't have the Fast and Furious movies anymore. Right. I don't have shit like that. But now
those are the opposite of, like you were saying, with, like, rarity.
Yeah, dime a dozen. Like, if I wanted it tomorrow, I could go out and buy it, no problem. Like, I could walk to Best Buy tomorrow and grab them all, no problem, one set. But, like, I find my collection, I find myself getting more from companies like Scream Factory and Arrow and Kino Lorber and Vinegar Syndrome and so on and so forth, like boutique labels that put out these movies that you wouldn't otherwise see.
Vinegar Syndrome, I hear, has the most boutique pornography.
Oh my god. I love Vinegar Syndrome. They're who did my Nightmare Sisters, Blu-ray, actually. And I have another one called, the alternate title's Dracula's Daughter, but I think it's Lucifer's Women is the title on the cover, but I've accidentally bought 8 porno movies that span from the 70s to late 70s to early 80s, and purely by accident.
Have you tried watching any of these? Like, how bad are they?
And the ones he bought that weren't porn, he thought were porn.
Yeah, it's all backwards.
So,
are these like, so is this the era when porn movies were in theaters and kind of had plots and shit?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, what happened was...
We're doing the wrong podcast.
I was reading... I have a lot of books about movies and stuff. Like, you've seen them. They're right behind me on the shelf here. And I was reading one of them, and it was about genre films and films that were banned and shit like that. And I remember it specifically mentioning this movie called Taboo. So when I was at BMV, which is a place that resells or sells movies that were sold to them, sort of like a pawn shop in a way, but it's like they do movies, books, music, stuff like that. But they only buy stuff that's in mint condition, so you know you're getting something good when you go there.
Right.
Totally plugging BMV right now.
It is. It's cool. I like that place, except that guy with the monocle.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy sucks.
Lame. So I went down there one day, and they had this Vinegar Syndrome copy of Taboo, and right by it, they had Taboo 2 and 3. So I looked at the cover for Taboo briefly, and I was like, well, I remember this title. I remember this was, like, a big deal like band or something like that. So I'm going to grab it, and I'll grab the other two as well. So I grab them without really examining them. And then I get them home, and I'm like, I open them up. But, well, first, I open up the first one, and I'm like, what's so bad about this? This doesn't look bad. And then I pull from underneath of that case, the case for Taboo 2 and 3, and it looks like a porno movie case. And I'm like, oh. So I quickly go on Wikipedia to do some research and find out that I've just purchased early 80s pornography. And I was like, fuck. Like, what do you do, right? So
is it at least, like, good porn?
I haven't really. Like, I briefly watched some of it, you know, just to see if it was worth keeping, if nothing else.
Real men watch porn in the living room. Yeah.
Anyway.
The whole family so gathers.
Then the second instance that I got kind of... Hey, I'm not going to use the word burned. Shot. I'm not going to use the word burned, but I was looking at Bay Street Video, which I love Bay Street Video, and I noticed that they had a copy of 5 years, or 5 Films, 5 Years, and it was like a compilation Blu-ray set with 5 movies in it, and it was Volume 1, and I know Volume 1 is out of print specifically, so I was like, out of print? I'm buying it. I didn't even look. I was like, no problem. On the cover, it's like 5 film reels. With the titles of movies, but I didn't look at the titles of the movies till I got home.
Oh, and this is, okay, I know which one you're talking about now. Yeah right.
And it, again, was all late 70s, early 80s pornography. And I'm like, so now I have 8 porno movies in my collection.
Yeah, I remember I was, I'm a little curious about that era, just a tiny bit, because I watched a documentary about, who was that real famous porn guy? Ron Jeremy. And he's been around for so long. He was in Ghostbusters and stuff as an extra.
Yeah, yeah.
But his early movies, I remember the clip they showed was he was in like a World War One like biplane flying around. It looked like a bad movie, but it looked like a normal movie. Mm-hmm. Because when he started, it was all theatrical porn movies. Like, they had to pretend it was a movie, kind of. And I was like, huh, I've never seen one of these old porns. So I'm like a little curious, but I'm sure they suck, right? They must be terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had time to really skim through them or anything. I'm not really a big porn watcher now. I was when I was a kid. Like, all you wanted to do was either watch horror movies or chicks blowing dudes. Like, you know, there was no real in between.
Ideally, dudes blowing other dudes.
Yeah. Hey, man, if you could get it, that's the thing.
Yes, whatever.
Yeah, it was like, I'm sure.
When you close your eyes, everyone's a woman, I guess.
And it was kind of like with everything back then. I mean, from music to movies to comic books to like the scarcity of everything. Like, mm-hmm. you had what you had, including porn. Like, it was just like, cool, someone somehow found porn somewhere. Where now, yeah, it's just a different world. Like, you can just have everything all the time. And yeah, it's not, nothing is precious like it used to be.
So here's a strange question for you guys. Are there any horror movies or genre films that you haven't seen that you really want to see?
The first one that comes to mind for me is My Bloody Valentine. Because, like, I was already reading online about how the Miner is, like, one of the most underrated horror villains of all time. And then I come here, Dad has this print, and it fucking takes place in Nova Scotia. And I live in Nova Scotia.
That's funny you bring that up, because...
And it's autographed by the director, George Mihalka.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I just watched recently, man, what was it called? Going to Pieces, I think it's called. It's a documentary about the slasher phenomenon in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It's on YouTube or Vimeo or something. You can watch it. They were going through the classic stuff and, you know, prom night and all this stuff. And then, yeah, they got to this Miner guy and they were talking to the director. And I didn't even know what it was. And then they brought up the title, My Bloody Valentine. I'm like, oh, like, right. Like, I guess I haven't seen that either. Like, I didn't even recognize the guy. So, yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because that was also, I added that to my mental list of, like, I should fucking watch that. Because also, it's funny, the part that they were talking about was, that was when slasher movies got so popular that the No Good Canadians started getting in on it.
Yeah.
And apparently distributors and stuff push back pretty hard. They're like, we don't want a bunch of Canadians getting in on this. It's like, just funny that we're discriminated against.
We're just snow Mexicans to them.
Yeah, totally. Like, get out of here.
I have a small laundry list of movies that I haven't yet seen that I'd really like to own or see.
Well, I feel like the big one for me that we got cleared up because it was on your list for the book is I Spit on Your Grave.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that
I
was
watched
like,
that like the second day I was here.
And it's weird because like when we were, you know, before the pre-internet, like they had it in Fredericton at the mall, but it's like $70. This incredibly expensive VHS. I'm like, well, fuck that. And it's like one of these movies that, you know, Ebert hated and got all these bad reviews, but now it's just a classic, you know, and like... And it's good. I liked it.
I remember when Dad first got that, I was like 13, and he basically took it out of the bag, pointed out the case, and went, don't fucking watch this.
Yeah, and it always had that, because I had that same thing of like, oh, maybe this is the one you don't want to watch. Maybe it's too much. It's not. It's fine. But it's kind of cool that it's got that aura to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, I Spit on Your Grave, or Last House on the Left, you know.
I haven't seen that one either, or The Hills Have Eyes.
And I feel like something like I Spit on Your Grave that's so especially rape-based. Like, maybe I'd feel different if I was a chick, but yeah.
As like, I didn't even see how it was considered horror after I watched it.
But like, you know, it's more rape revenge, but it's... I wouldn't classify it myself as horror. I mean, although the things that happen to the woman in the movie, Sarah Butler, I believe, was her name, they were terrible things. I mean, terrible things that were depicted on film. So I can see how it could be kind of defined as horror.
Yeah, and like the extreme length of... the scenes is, I guess, the main thing. But I do still feel like that's one of those things. That's why I like, oh man, I just like censorship of any kind drives me fucking nuts. Because it's like, I can see why that movie, for instance, you could make the case of like, oh, we should censor this. But the other way to look at it is like, it's not glamorizing what's happening. And like, in some ways, like a lot of slasher movies do. It's like a fun little thrill when somebody, Kevin Bacon, just gets stabbed through the throat and then it's over. But if you really show this stuff for like 25 straight minutes, it's not fun anymore. And like, that's valuable, I think. That's really cool. That's it. That, yeah, like, who has the balls to do that? That's crazy.
It's very reminiscent of the discomfort I felt while watching a Serbian film.
Yeah, I never saw that one.
Oh, I
want to
watch that, too. Everyone tells me it's fucked.
Yeah, I don't know if I do.
It really
is. I'm sure I'll watch it someday, but...
So, yeah, I've got a couple of movies on my list of my list of needs, I guess, for my collection. So I'm thinking of, like, Class of Nukem High and those sequels by Troma. Also, there's a couple of blaxploitation movies I haven't seen that I should have seen by now, like Coffee and Foxy Brown and Sheba Baby. And
I recognize that music right away. That's the boy
Black to the Future.
You know, stuff like that. Those things are on my list for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to see the Class of Nukem Highs also. And Troma movies, man, aren't they weird? Like, there's no other movie company like Troma where it almost doesn't feel like a real movie. Something about it is just wrong.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they put tons of work into their stuff. It's like, it's a real weird balance in those movies.
They're good movies, though. Troma puts out, I mean, you know what, if you've watched a Troma movie and you enjoy it, any other Troma film you see, you know what you're getting into before it even starts.
That's where it's like funny with all the stuff with James Gunn getting kicked off of Guardians and being a Disney guy. It's like, I couldn't believe he was a Disney guy in the first place. He wrote Romeo and Juliet, for Christ's sake. Like, it's amazing that he made his way into Disney. Like, holy shit.
I don't think I've ever actually seen any exploitation films that I knew were exploitation films anyway.
Well, you watched I Spit on Your Grave. That's considered a sexploitation movie.
Oh.
And it's funny, too, yeah. I mean, all these things kind of get labeled in hindsight. Like, I feel like at the time, everybody's just trying to make a movie that'll hopefully make back its budget.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, just the levels of stuff. Because, like, compared to your average citizen, I feel like I know a lot of shit about movies. But then when I'm hanging out with you, Ray, it's like, I don't know shit. Like, there's so much more to learn and so many more levels to go in.
I'm glad to teach you.
Yeah. The ways of being a man. Well, I was going to say, too, about what you were saying earlier about... you know, just like when we were kids in the 80s and like everybody talked about Freddy, but nobody saw it. Like, that's one thing that I don't know will ever happen again with horror movies. And not even horror movies, like every movie in the 80s, like Rambo and Freddy, these were kind of for kids. Like, there was just merchandise and everyone talked about them and it was totally mainstream. And I don't know, it was just very strange in the 80s.
Now kids do it about drugs instead.
Right, because there's no, like, movie series that's, like, a big thing, like Saw or whatever, but there's not, it's not the same.
I mean, I look at things in my apartment and I think, like, you know, we've got... I don't buy a lot of toys. I really don't. I've got a few. They're all, like, in their boxes, and I consider them decorative. And they fit in my movie or in my entertainment unit perfectly. I've got four out of the five that are out right now of the Friday the 13th figures by NECA. And they're highly detailed. They're really nice. But, I mean, really? Like... there's toys based on right. these horror characters, you know, like...
Yeah, and even back then, maybe there wasn't so much the actual merchandise, say, of Jason, but it totally wasn't just, like, a grown-up thing. It was, like, 50-50. It was, like, grown-ups watched these movies, but kids were obsessed with them. Like, they were clearly kind of for kids
there
at the same time.
There was a Freddy doll, though, that they pulled off shelves.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they
I've heard about
they had made a Freddy doll, and... so you could buy this Freddy doll, and he had a string that you pulled on his back, and he said shit. But the reason it was pulled from shelves was because they did all this packaging, they made the toy, they put it out, and then someone from marketing was like, isn't Freddy Krueger, like, a pedophile child murderer?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my god, we can't have a toy about this. Like, their heads exploded and they, like, recalled them.
Yeah, because especially the later, yeah, Freddy movies, he's just making stupid puns and the fat boys are doing songs and, yeah, it's, like, stupid. But, yeah, and wasn't it, not only is he this weird pedophile that the, it was like the neighborhood cornered him, right, and burned him to death?
Yes.
But wasn't they, didn't they even get into some stuff that, like, his mom was raped by 100 inmates of some insane asylum? Yeah,
she was, like, a nun.
Like, and then he was, like, so abused extreme. By his adoptive father, started fingering the wounds from the beatings.
God damn it. It's so fucked up. What was the thing with the claws? Is there an origin to that?
Not really. He's just crazy and made some claws.
But it was based off of cat claws. I know that.
Man. It's so weird, too, like, just... like that those things became, like, character like Freddy became so iconic. But when you watch, like, the first and second movies, it's just like they're just talking about this guy Freddy, like, it's just a normal name, just Freddy. And it's like the 80s was just so weird. It's just like, yeah, we got the A-Team, we got a pro wrestling, we got all this crazy dumb shit happening, let's throw in some horror movie guys, everybody just be like, I don't know, it was just like,
we got superheroes, we got Rambo, let's throw in a fucking child molester.
Yeah, it was like just such a strange
time. But
have
you noticed though that since the 80s and say I guess maybe right into the mid 90s, since those days, there haven't been characters that have had the lasting power of, say, Jason or Freddy or Chucky. Or...
yeah, I was just going to bring up Chucky. Like, that's another one that was absolutely aimed at our demographic. And we were, like, 13 or 12 or whatever.
Right.
It's just like...
and you wanted it. You wanted to see it. You, like, we wanted to see that fucking doll.
Yeah.
And we wanted to see him kill people.
Man, I mean, I read the novelization of Child's Play 3 because I couldn't...
I had that. I gave that to
you. Yeah, I think we talked about it because, yeah, that's where I got it. And it's like, I hadn't seen the movie yet. I had to wait for the VHS. So I'm like, I'll read the book. Fuck it. Like, no grown-up read that book ever.
No.
That was definitely for kids.
I don't even remember where I got that shit, but I got it.
I remember I liked the book way better, too. It sounded really cool, like grown-up Andy in the fucking military school, but then I saw the movie, and I'm like, oh, that sort of sucked.
Fucking Sean Whalen.
That's probably the worst one, I think about it.
Yeah, probably. I haven't seen Seed.
Yeah, me either. I guess I'm not all caught up, yeah.
I haven't seen Seed, but I've seen all the other ones. I really like the last two. Like, they were really good.
Yeah, oh, and I love Child's Play, too. I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time, but, man... if we maybe on our next run, we should do that one because, like, it's where he's starting to really, like, lose.
That character is sort of
he's like
established.
Losing, yeah, and he's losing his chance to get out of the doll. It's like if he doesn't get, he can only go in Andy because Andy's the first one he told because that's the rules of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically turning into a real thing instead of being
an organic doll.
Yeah, so there's this part near the end where they trap his hand in this grate and he has to yank it out and there's all the sinews and stuff. He's just like, brah! And then he's got this stump hand and he's like, well, this is no good. So he takes the handle off a knife, jams the knife in the stump, tapes it up, and now he's Chucky with a knife hand, and he's got blood everywhere. Like, that's just, that's the best shit in the world. Like, the first one is probably a better movie, but that scene alone makes the second one, like, I never forgot it.
Yeah, the second one's good for sure. Yeah.
So what were we talking about?
Fuck, I don't remember now, man. We were just talking about movies and shit, like we always do.
But yeah, even that's the thing, too. Like, stuff like the Child's Play movies and things, like, I wasn't renting these things. I probably just told my dad, like, hey, can you rent me Child's Play 2? And he did, you know? It's like, hey, can you grab me a Nintendo game and maybe Child's Play 2? And he's like, all right.
My big brother from Big Brothers and Big Sisters when I was a kid was a police officer. Right. But he was cool, man. Like, anything I wanted to see, like, he would either take me to or rent. Like, he rented one time for me as a 13-year-old kid, Andrew Dice Clay stand-up.
Hey, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Oh. Hickory dickory dock, this bitch was sucking my cock. The clock struck 2, I blew my goo, I dropped the bitch on the next block. Like, you know, like, he rented shit like that for me, but he did rent... Child's Play 2. Right. Took me to see, like, Steven Seagal movies in the theater. Like, I was too young for those movies, but he took me anyway. Took me to see Terminator 2 in the theater. I mean, the only thing I really love about America is their movies. Literally, that's it. Yeah. Movies and music.
Yeah.
They do it better than everyone else.
Yeah, although even that, they're slipping a little. But definitely back in the day, it was no question American movies were the best. But now you see stuff like, I don't know, like Korean movies, like, look amazing. They're just, the movies aren't necessarily that great, but like visually, they're getting there, you know?
Yeah, but there's something about an American movie. I mean, the style, the feel.
Yeah. Even back in the day, I didn't finish it, but I started watching that old Hitchcock movie, Vertigo. And like,
oh, such a good movie.
And imagine that, like, back in like the 60s, like, compare that to what other countries were doing.
Or Rear Window. Yeah. Or Rebecca. Like, Rebecca's, they're talking about remaking Rebecca, and I'm like, why do you have to remake something? Like, why does everything have to be remade?
Yeah, just re-release it in 3D, that's fine.
Like, clean it. Like, there's a Criterion version of Rebecca I have, and it's beautiful. Throw that in theaters if you want to make more money off of it. Like, you don't have to remake it.
I've never heard of this movie. What is it?
I'll tell you about it later.
All right.
We'll do some homeschooling.
Like, you don't need to remake movies. Like,
that was an interesting theory.
Except Halloween, those were really good.
Everyone talks about remakes and, you know, why there shouldn't be a remake or whatever. I think a remake is okay in some cases, but there are certain things that should never be touched.
Right.
It should just be common sense. Like, you don't need to remake everything that you think, oh, shit, I haven't heard of this. I'll watch it and then remake it, you know? But the problem with that is when someone finally does come up with something interesting, people don't support it. They're like, oh, I've never seen anything like that before. I'm not, you know, no one goes and sees it. It's like the Marvel stuff that makes like fucking $1 billion, but you know, you get something new like Overlord that just came out and it made like fucking $9 million in its first weekend.
Oh, that's the Nazi movie, right?
Nazi zombies.
Yeah, that looked cool.
What the fuck?
You'd think that'd make more money with how popular Call of Duty's zombies mode has always been.
Yeah.
And even set aside Nazi zombies from Call of Duty. Everyone's screaming for original ideas and whining about remakes, but when someone comes with something original, they're like, eh.
We really are in this era like that, because yeah, like I remember when I saw the Overlord trailer, I'm like, man, it looks like Wolfenstein, and if they had called it Wolfenstein, like Wolfenstein zombie thing, like it would have done great. You know, like I do feel like something weird happened now that the internet is here and it's a robust thing that everyone has. It's like backwash, or like we're just in stasis. Mm-hmm. Like everything old is still here and the new shit isn't really coming, and it's just, we're just floating in this weird time.
It's like I jokingly told my friend Luke, they should remake Silence of the Lambs, and it's exactly the same, except Buffalo Bill is played by Steve Buscemi, because that would be hilarious.
That would be extra bizarre. Only the one thing different. Yeah, and it is weird, because obviously there's a lot of remakes that do work out, but yeah, in general, it's... I don't know, I can't remember who I was talking to, somebody I know the other day, but just this kind of idea that... it's probably fueled just by how old I am, but I really feel like in the 80s, it was just a more vital, exciting time. Like, hey, Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, like these new things were coming out that were excellent. And you're just like, whoa. And it doesn't feel like that anymore.
No, it feels like everything's already been done. And no one is trying to come up with original ideas anymore. They're just...
And I know part of it is obviously just we only remember the great shit from the 80s. We don't remember all the bad stuff. But yeah, it still seems like it was like so much more creative. And...
But like we've said in earlier episodes, even the bad stuff was fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I just think, yeah, like the worst... I'm trying to think of what the worst 80s movie ever is.
No Holds Barred.
Yeah, and I mean, still, man, that's... I could see watching it. It's... It'd be an entertaining, stupid, fun movie to
Anything
watch.
With Hulk Hogan in it was terrible.
Yeah.
Like...
I mean, it had, yeah, fucking... His name was Rip. He was fighting Zeus with the lazy eye. Like, already, it's interesting. And that is probably the worst movie.
I've got to see that movie.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was just like Hulk Hogan trying to be what The Rock is now.
I mean... Think about it. We had action movies like Rambo. We had Commando. We had the Terminator franchise.
Predator.
We had Predator.
Predator is so good.
We had the Alien movies. Slipping into horror, we had Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Child's Play, Fright Night, Reanimator, The Lost Boys, so on and so forth.
The Howling.
Yeah, I mean, The Howling was there, too.
And, yeah, the family movies, yeah, like the Monster Squad, the Goonies, fucking Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, all that stuff, like, so good.
Like, we just listed, a ton of iconic movies.
Fucking Bill and Ted. Like, even dumb shit that was just good when we were kids is still good.
We recently rewatched Bill and Ted, and it holds up so well.
Yeah, that movie's great. The only super cheat that is a little ridiculous is like, hey, just don't forget to come back here and leave the keys. Here's the keys. That's pretty cheap, but all right, whatever.
But it was good.
Yeah. That's actually still, it's funny too how those things get stuck in your head. Like now that Toronto, a bunch of the convenience stores converted to Circle K, it just makes me think of fucking Bill and Ted every time.
Yeah. Something that I really liked from Bill and Ted was when they saw something they really liked and they're like, not bad. Like,
oh, that's like a Nova Scotia, the new slang thing for cool is just decent.
Yeah, not bad. I like not bad.
I'm gonna start
like it's not
that
awesome
now.
But it's not bad.
yeah like as they say it all excited, not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even like teen movies, man. Fucking Breakfast
teen
Club,
Wolf.
Heathers, Teen Wolf. Yeah, just what wasn't
16 good? Candles,
just
like,
amazing. Yeah,
we had such amazing movies in our time, and it feels like between the mid-70s to the mid-90s, like that 20-year period, it'll never be repeated.
Yeah, and there really is something, even in the 90s, it started slipping pretty fast, but the 80s specifically, crazy, so good. Like, I don't know how to explain it, it's just nuts. Well, I remember, like, I was trying to explain to my friend Matt about 80s movies, like, just the way they feel. Like, I don't feel like I'm watching a movie. I feel like I'm watching, like, a story happen. And I don't know, he was just like, what was wrong with you? You're not supposed to ever feel like that. I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. I do. But again, I don't know how much of it is just because I was a kid then, and that's just what I like, and that's what I remember, but... I don't know, it's like how my mom only likes movies from the 60s, because that's when she was a kid. I don't know, these things just happen, I guess, but...
I mean, I was a child of the late 70s. Like, I was born in 77.
Right. So, I mean, really 80s, though.
But really 80s, you know, yeah. By the time I was old enough to...
That's almost like the perfect time. Like, by the time the 80s started, you were just starting to get memories and shit.
Like, by the time I gave a shit about movies and stuff like that, it was probably... You know, probably 86. Like, 86 was probably when I actually started giving an active shit about movies, and there was things that I had to see, you know? Like,
so it was like 9. Just looking at the bookshelf, and I saw a big, fat Stephen King book. That's another big 80s thing that, again, was, like... For grown-ups, but also for kids. Like, somehow, weirdly, Stephen King books and movies were very accepted that kids are going to read them. Mm-hmm. And just be into them and see them.
Yeah, like, the first adult novel I ever read was Pet Sematary.
Man, I remember Terry, our friend Terry, had this novel. I don't know what it was called. I wonder if he'd even remember. I remember he was really into it, and I read it. And it was, like, about just, like, a serial killer guy who always, like, wore the same kill clothes, and they smelled, like, the blood of his victims. And I don't know. Again, we were early teens, you know. He is a little older, too. But still, it's just weird that that's a book a 14-year-old is just reading.
He's older
than me. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's just funny. And it's just, like, we didn't think twice about it. We're just like, yeah, cool.
I don't remember how much older than me he was. He must have only been about a year.
Yeah, it had to be in the same ballpark because we were all the same schools and stuff or whatever, roughly. Well, that's a rambly episode, but...
So even though we rambled a bunch and we kind of got off topic a little bit, I mean, I still feel like it was an enjoyable episode.
Yeah, you know, I like these little bonus ones. You get to know us a little better and you get to know the people that came out of Ray's balls. Which is always a bonus.
Sometimes I venture back in.
Yeah. No, you don't. But yeah, so all of us big horror, big cult film fans, totally dismissing the whole balls thing.
Just going to cruise right by that.
Yeah, going to cruise right by that and continue talking about movies.
You can't stop them from thinking about it.
Yeah, I feel like that could be like a Stephen King, some kind of dream catcher type thing, where it's only in dreams that...
I'm not going to be happy till I crawl back into your car. Yeah.
Only in dreams do I travel back into the dead zone, which is what I call my dad's ball sack. That's where I see,
it's fucking
see the
dead
future.
Now.
Yeah, I got fixed. It's there.
So it is the dead zone.
Shooting blanks, man. Nice. So, yeah.
Oh, and it's like a weird world of ghosts and stuff. And you're like, oh.
Ooh, ghost balls. No, dead sperm just floating around going, I could have been something, but I'm dead.
Like, there could have been a fucking astrophysicist in there.
No, there couldn't. So...
So are you going to wrap this one up?
Fuck, trying to. It's so hard.
This is an expert level podcasting now. You got to bring this in for a landing.
So we did have an extra co-host today. That co-host is...
Your boy, skinny penis.
Your boy, skinny penis, Caleb. I don't know. You shouldn't have given yourself a name if you're going to that follow-up with skinny penis.
I like it, though. Prison Wallet's Guide to Movies featuring Skinny Penis.
Yeah. So, we'll be back next month.
Do you think we should
we'll be back.
It could be a whole series of books, and one of them should be The Prison Wallet's Guide to Hiding Things in Your Ass When You Go Into Prison.
Maybe should they just, you know, it's so demeaning, I'm sure, being a prisoner, because they, like, when you go from place to place, they literally make you strip down in front of everyone, and then they make you bend over and hold your ass cheeks open and cough, because it will expel something that you've got hidden in your arse.
Man, do you realize, too, if we ever go to prison for our future tax evasion, that they're going to be like, oh, you're the prison wallets guy, huh? You think that's real funny, huh? And then we're going to get stabbed in the ass.
We're going to make sure that guy over there with the 14 and a half inch top makes a deposit in that wallet.
Well, on that note, yeah. I think we finally figured out how to end this podcast.
Fuck, I guess. So, our special guest has been Caleb. I am Ray. You can find me at on Instagram and Twitter at BoraHiro77.
I'm Keith McNally on Twitter. You can get the podcast at KeithCourage.com and iTunes and YouTube and probably wherever you found it.
You can also find our Prison Wallets podcast social media accounts on Instagram at prison_wallets_pod and on Twitter at podcastprison.
You know what's one nice thing is when you type prison wallets, like, we're not quite at the point yet where we come up, but not that much other stuff comes up. There's like this one YouTube video where this guy earnestly talks about his time in prison, but then we're like right under him.
Nice.
So, we'll overtake.
We're below the guy who's actually been to prison.
Yeah, which is fair. I think.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I'd rather be below him than above him. Please go to Twitter, go to iTunes, go to Instagram, all these places, iTunes, whatever. Like us, rate us, review us, subscribe to us. It really helps out a lot. We're not asking for your fucking money or your blood, so just do that easy thing. I was just about to
say, give us your fucking money.
We're not asking for any of that. Don't listen to this fuckface.
Not till we get more popular, and then we can start a Patreon.
Yeah, but so anyway, that is this episode. You're either going to like it or you're not going to like it. I'm kind of half and half on it already myself.
This is the danger of just the random rambling episodes. Hey, who knows where they're going to go?
But we'll see you next month, and until then, fuck the world.